Hello, I'm Jack from thejacksmith.com and welcome to something a bit different. I went back through the YouTube channel a little while ago and I realised that we've not actually done any reviewing of film style content since July of last year. And I was thinking to myself, coming back from the fantastic Real Chorley a little bit earlier today, we need to change that. And while I love doing Talking Smith About Film as a live-streamed InVision podcast, logistically, it's an absolute bugger to do, especially with YouTube content ID being as arse-kicking as it can be. So we're taking the reviews and Talking Smith About Film and breaking them out into bite-sized chunks. That's just the good stuff. All the stuff that you really want to know about and care about in a quick turnaround fashion. The problem is we don't know what to call this new version of Talking Smith About Film. So comment section, you know what to do. Keep it respectable, please. This is meant to be a PG product after all. But I've just got back from watching The Lost City, which is a brand new adventure film from the lovely folks Paramount Pictures. It's the current UK box office number one. And it's actually surprisingly good. To give you a basic flavour of what this film is like, it's about a reclusive romance novelist who goes on a book tour with a cover model, played by Sandra Bullock and Channing Tatum, respectively. They get swept up in a kidnapping attempt, spearheaded by Daniel Radcliffe. It lands them both in a cutthroat jungle adventure that is very Jumanji-esque at times. Very bold in the way it works, and importantly, it's a family film. It's a family adventure film. But I went into this with barely any expectations. It had been in development hell for about 7 years, and then it got announced in October 2020. It went into production in the midst of the COVID-19 lockdown, so it is a miracle that this film even made it out of production hell. And on to the big screen, given all of the logistical challenges it faced to actually get onto set and actually get cast secured and shot in a COVID-secure manner. We're at that point now where a lot of the films coming into cinemas around the world were shot during the lockdown. I mean, Jurassic World's coming up in June, and they shot most of that over here. And I know the Baz Luhrmann Elvis film is coming up very soon, infamously known as the film where Tom Hanks got COVID. But we're not going to dwell about the pandemic too much. It is a relief that this film actually came out and turned out to be good, because Paramount had a lot riding on it. It is a big original IP film, brand new material, especially for the big screen, helmed by the pair of Adam and Aaron Nee, who will soon take on Masters of the Universe for Sony. Yes, a reboot of the He-Man universe. They make a very nicely paced 1 hour 52 minute film that doesn't drag on too much. Sure, there are a few minutes here and there that could do with a bit of refinement, but we can say that about every family film that comes out these days. It's helped a lot by the script that they've co-written with Oren Uzio and Dana Fox, which in turn is based on a story by Seth Gordon. It has all the makings of a good family adventure to it, and I know a lot of big boy critics have been likening it to Romancing the Stone. And I can see where the comparison lies. It's a very similar kind of plot. It's a very similar kind of dynamic that you see in the characters that are created. It passes the six laugh test with flying colours, which I'm very happy to report. In fact, quite early on, it passes the six laugh test. It's a very cheesy family film, but it's cheesy by design. And those are the best kinds of cheesy movies. You want to go into a cheesy film wanting to have a good time. And boy, did I have a good time with this film. The handling, cinematography, Jonathan Seller. He can do no wrong in my eyes. He's had a good body of work so far. Same can be said for the composer, Peanut Operak, continuing her stellar form of work that all kicked off with Captain Marvel back in 2019. It is good to see talents from films that have, I wouldn't say struggled to get an audience. I mean, if I remember rightly, Jonathan Seller worked on Atomic Blonde, which was one of my favourite films of 2017. His cinematography made a big part of what made that film work on so many levels. But what this technical team have done is they've created a film and a universe based within the realms of the fictional books that Loretta, the Sandra Bullock character, writes, but makes it in a way that it doesn't feel too far-fetched, but at the same time, it also feels ridiculously insane. Proper Hollywood cheese. On to those performances. And like I said, we've got Sandra Bullock as Loretta, and we've got Channing Tatum as Alan or Dash, the cover model of Loretta's books in this universe. Now, Loretta is this romance novel writer who'd been a bit of a recluse following the death of her husband, who was an adventurer. She lost her mojo. She fell out of love with writing for a few years. And I can see why Sandra Bullock would take this role on, because some bits of it feel very critical of society. And it's also Sandra Bullock being able to have as much fun as she did working on The Heat. I'm filming this just as I've published a review on ejacksmith.com, and I was thinking while I was writing it, the way Sandra Bullock conveys herself in this reminds me of another film which she was in, and then it came to me as we hit record here. If you enjoyed her work on The Heat, this is more of the same, and having someone like Channing Tatum alongside her in a supporting role, they are very likeable leads. They have a good working dynamic, they have a good chemistry, they make this film come alive well beyond the confines of the script. They are, I think, the only two people who I can reasonably think can make a plot and a script and the way the film goes work as well as it does. You also have Daniel Radcliffe as Abigail, the film's villain. And a lot of you will be thinking, why is there a male character called Abigail? Watch the film, you will understand. But it is a relief to see him back in a major Hollywood picture after years of doing independent movies and a brief stint doing some theatrical stuff. He's proven to the world he is more than just Harry Potter now. He is a very good talent who I think the industry have overlooked a little bit because of that association with the Potter films. Running out the cast, you have a very brief cameo from Brad Pitt. And for the brief amount of time that he's in this film, again, I don't want to spoil too much. He's got some of the funniest bits of this movie. You'll see bits of it in the trailers. But he's in this film, and again, he's there to have fun. The same can be said for Davina Joy Randolph, who plays Loretta's agent Beth. Ultimately, the comic relief to the film and the character who grounds this plot within the fictional and the real universes, because she's primarily in America, while Loretta gets taken to the so-called Lost City of D. I'm glad they changed the title to just The Lost City, because having Lost City of D on the BBFC Black Card would have prompted a bit of an outcry from the family, well, from the parents especially. And that brings me on to my final main point that I've mentioned in the review. The BBFC gave us a 12 certificate, and they gave this to quote the guidance, I have the iconic book here, they gave it a 12 for moderate violence, brief bloody images, sex references and language. Having seen the film, I can agree with what the BBFC thought. I know a lot of families have been to watch this film over the last week. As I record this, it's in its second week here in England. It opened straight at the UK box office number one, outgrossing Fantastic Beasts 3 by £100,000. Proof we needed that the Wizarding World's dying a slow death, but we'll deal with that another time. But they gave it a 12 for very good reason, and I know a lot of families have been watching it because Easter holidays are coming to an end. My advice to parents who are bringing younger children, because again, 12A means you can bring anyone under the age of 12 unless they are accompanied by an adult. So if you are a responsible adult bringing young'uns to this film, my advice to you, and I say this for every single 12 certificate film that comes out in UK cinemas, please, for the love of all things holy, check the guidance on the BBFC website before you book your tickets, okay? Because there are things in this film that might go over the heads of younger kids, some things that the adults will laugh at, and topics that might prompt some interesting discussion after you leave the cinema. So go into this kind of film prepared. There'll be a link to the BBFC guidance on this film in the description and in the pinned comment for those of you who want to look into it a little bit further. Now, ultimately, The Lost City, it's a film that won't appease everyone's cup of tea, because while a cheesy film will do well, some people will find it a bit much. I know it played to only limitless customers the other week. It's had a lot of word of mouth traction. The big boy critics have been reviewing it very well. It opens straight in at the number one. And the important thing for Paramount, and this will be the thing that is going to be where it's judged upon, it is going to make its money back, no questions asked. But for an original IP to do this well against something like Harry Potter, and also up against fellow Paramount film Sonic 2, it's found its place in the UK market. Good bit of counter-programming considering what else is coming up. I mean, we are 2 weeks away from Doctor Strange, so it's going to start phasing out from UK screens very quickly. But it is a good bit of wholesome family fun that I think everyone will enjoy. Got a 4-star review on the blog, and if we were doing this on proper Talking Smith about film with sound effects and everything, it would be getting a worth a watch rating from me. It is a very enjoyable film. It does have its issues, but I can easily see them taking this into another franchise. So that's what I thought of The Lost City. If you've seen the film, let us know what you thought in the comments below. Wholesome discussion, please. Keep it civil. As for future content on this YouTube channel, stay tuned. If you haven't already done so, hit the subscribe button somewhere down here and hit the bell button to stay notified on when we upload next. I can confirm that with a good wind in our sails, we will have a brand new episode of The Journal with you on May 17th. Why May 17th? Well, A, that is the 1-year anniversary of the first cinemas in England reopening after the lockdown last year. And B, it's our big, nerdy, state of the industry episode where we break down the statistics and look back on how the first 12 months of the COVID recovery has gone. If you want to learn a bit more about how the industry works, this is a good episode to start with. That'll be with you at 8 p.m. on May 17th. But for now, enjoy the rest of the Easter holiday if you've not already gone back to work or school. Watch some great films at your local cinema. Support the industry. And until then, and most importantly, we'll see you at the movies.